The Bhajan Rahasya offers us a very unique way to absorb our minds in the chanting of the holy name. It actually offers meditations for the devotee, which he engages in while chanting the holy name. I don't know if any of you are informed about the spirituality of the Jesuiten. They have what they call exercitien, that is exercises, and what it mainly is they try to pray to Lord, to the Lord, but they know that in order to pray, they need to first enter into a certain mood. Have you noticed this, that when you are in a very devotional mood, it's easier for you to pray and to chant? I think it is a commonplace experience, isn't it? Sometimes, Prabhupada has said, when we chant with a feeling of great material satisfaction, everything is all right. We somehow don't enter the sweetness of the holy name. However, when we chant in a mood of devotion and a mood where we actually call for Krishna, we enter very deeply into the holy name. Have you noted that? Sometimes, you know, when we are in the temple, we seem to lose our feelings because everything becomes so mechanical in our life. When this happens, it's time to stop and think, how does my mood, my devotional mood, return? Because you can only practice Krishna consciousness when you have a Krishna conscious mood, a mood of loving. So this book, Bhajan Rahasya, is all about that. It reminds us of the favorable Einstellungen, which are necessary to chant. It is described in psychology. First, you have an emotion. These emotions are usually lasting only for something like 3 seconds. You feel bad. You feel good. You feel happy. Now, from these emotions, you develop certain Stimmungen, is a German word, and I believe the English word is moods. From these moods, you develop certain Einstellungen, is the German word. The English word would be something like dispositions. So here in Krishna, in this wonderful book, Bhajan Rahasya, you also work like this. You get into Krishna conscious emotions, you develop Krishna conscious moods, and you finally develop a whole Krishna conscious character. And I want to give you an example, because I know that many of you are not so interested in deep spiritual practice, and therefore you might already feel bored. So I will now talk a little bit more clearer to you. In the morning time, around this time, the devotee is thinking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Gauranga meets his devotees. They have all assembled before their houses, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes with their with his devotees to these houses and collects the devotees for what? For Harinam Sankirtan. Thank you very much. You are extremely informed. They built one big Harinam group, and they go from house to house chanting the holy name. They chant things. First they chant songs like Udilo Aruna Purababhage. It means the sun has risen. And then they go to the houses of the people and they call them to them Mukunda Yadava Madhava Hari. Mukunda Yadava Madhava Hari. Chant the names of Mukunda, of Yadava, and of Hari. Imagine you are still sleeping and all of a sudden there's a blissful Harinam group who calls out to you in happiness, chant the names of Mukunda Yadava Madhava Hari. You get up and you, without brushing your teeth, you go Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari. This is how the Chaitanya Bhakti waking service was going through the villages of Navadvip. And the devotee is advised to joyfully meditate about this during this time. You can think of the ecstatic Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would say things like, Jeev Jago, wake up! The people would respond back, I'm already awake. I have no, spiritually wake up. Don't you know that I have appeared to give the medicine against your material disease? It is the chanting of the holy name. Too long you are already in lying on the lap of the witch called Maya. They would say like this. And the people would say, wonderful, I mean, this is very strong, but it is good. So the devotee meditates about this in this world. And he meditates about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu increases the joy of all his devotees so that by his chanting the blissful ocean of Krishna conscious happiness would develop. Huh? This is Anandam Buddhi Varanam. I think you remember this. The ocean of bliss expands. This is how you're supposed to meditate in the morning. It's a joyful meditation. At the same time, you go now into Krishna Leela in your mind and remember what does Krishna do at precisely this time of the day. Any idea? Is it interesting or is it Parivari? Is called yes, Parivari weiß alles. He calls his friends. Most of the friends have already assembled before his door because Krishna is late today. Why is he late? Well, he was up very late. He was in the forests of Vrindavan, dancing and playing his flute. So they are before his door, and Krishna also blows into his bugle, and they come from everywhere, and then they go out to the pasturing, no, to the cow barns, collect the cows, and together with the Brijabasis, beginning with the parents, Yashoda and Nanda, they go out into the forest. Krishna, while he is in the forest, begins to think intensely of Srimati Radharani and calls Radharani Now, and visits Radharani finally at the banks of the Radhakund, and so on. So, this is how a devotee begins to enter when he follows this guidebook into a meditation about Radha and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the devotee thinks a little bit about what is the qualification to chant the holy name always. Now you know, the devotee has entered into a certain meditation, and now he is thinking about his own qualification. Do you have any idea what could be the qualification to chant? When can you chant and when can you not chant? It's a good question, isn't it? Saranandi has an idea. There's no qualification necessary. You can chant in all circumstances. But it seems we in Goloka Dham cannot always chant, so maybe we have to have a Saranandi is our holy Saranandi. Ron. Oli, yes, Oli. Yes, to chant when the mind is detached from material circumstances. Murali. Yes, so here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's perspective, and you are will be very pleased to hear that this is actually the way how to enter into this part of the chanting. He says, Trinadapi sunichena taro iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So now it's very interesting, my dear devotees. We will now hear a rendition of this verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is about what qualifications you must develop in order to chant. Saranandi has this qualification already, so therefore she has already jumped over this and so on. It has also very much to do with what Oli says. Oli had said we should become detached in our minds from material thoughts and material activities. I think Oli knows about this very well. He was one of the most successful young businessmen of Kiel, and he has ample experience that from morning till evening you can think of business and then you know how to chant, you know. So the moment you can give up your false ego, that moment you are no longer connected with the material world. Einen guten Tag wünschen wir dir. Mit vielen erfolgreichen Telefonaten. Haribol. Giving up the false ego helps us. Imagine the moment you wouldn't think any longer you are Ram Gopal with the Ram Gopal problems. You would be free in your mind. The moment I wouldn't think I'm Sachinanda Swami, I wouldn't always have to think about how to gain the Lakshmi for Goloka Dham and for the Schuldenberg, you know. I would have a very happy life if I wouldn't have to identify with this role any longer, which I play in the service of my spiritual master. So the moment you can give up your connection, you have actually peace in your mind. So here is now Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instructions. It's very, very strong. You will not believe your ears, but if you can accept them in your heart, you will be able to get the qualifications to chant. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then, my dear devotees, do everything you can to gain the qualifications which are necessary to do so. Devotees, give up false ego and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant than grass. It's the first step. You know, the devotee just really disconnects from the material world and thinks, oh, I'm in need of some help. I'm more insignificant than grass. Practice the virtue of tolerance by following the trees. What this really means is that you must follow, you must develop forgiveness when others have hurt you. You must forgive them and say, it's all right. It's all right. And become like a tree who is very tolerant. Give up revenge. You know how the Spanish say, Rache ist ein delikates Gericht, was am besten kalt ausserviert wird. Give up revenge and look after other creatures. Take care of others. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfish concerns by serving others. Even if you possess all good qualities, do not try to profit from them by looking for prestige. Keep your heart simple. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart, and so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. And now Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets very simple. These were many informations which are difficult to keep, but he boils it down now to four. Cultivate these four qualities: humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference, Gleichgültigkeit, to worldly honors. And then chant the holy name. Bhaktivinoda cries out, praying to the lotus feet of the Lord, when, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant your holy name? Now this is how this section of the Bhajan Rahasya starts. It starts very spiritual with meditations, but it is, I believe, clear that many of us are not so accustomed to meditate, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur has other meditations for us, which also we can really enter, we can develop humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference toward the others. My dear devotees, the moment you develop such qualities as these, you will detach yourself from your material life. It's automatically, this is the scissors, that the scissors means Schere, which cuts you away from your material consciousness. It's a very, very powerful, this meditation. It is a meditation, by the way, which is kept in all traditions. A meditation of great humility, where you can enter the mood of Krishna consciousness. You become actually like a child. Whatever you have done so far, you say you are very humble. You respect others, and you are full of compassion. You want to help others. Hare Krishna. Today, Krishna has cooked a meal for you, my dear devotees. He has cooked a wonderful meal of the holy name for every one of us. Today, you are invited to come to the pot of your Lord. It's the pot of the holy name, and we will sit around this pot and enjoy the meal of the holy name. This is our determination for today. I will end my little inspiration. I hope it was inspiring for you, and invite you. We are chanting. I think most of you have already chanted many, from the morning on. We are chanting. Well, you can continue to chant, but if you but I want to invite you, if you have time for this afternoon at 5 o'clock, to come to Radha Kunya Bihari. Now we will chant before Radha, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, if you still wish to chant, but if you have other things to do, then you're free. But please try. We would be very happy if we can have you as our guests in Karuna Bhavan. The deities are very, very nicely dressed, and they wait for the devotees at 5 o'clock, if you have time. So, Krishna. Gadadhar will come today or tomorrow, and then we will start to write our book, which we want to finish by the Frankfurt Book Fair. It's called The Vedic Way. It's a very nice book where we present Krishna consciousness to the many people who are connected with the Veda Academy. We will also introduce this concept at the yoga festival in Berlin. There is a yoga festival where they expect 8,000 to 10,000 people, and we are invited to, well, we will make a tent there, a Krishna tent, and speak about the Vedic way there. So we need tomorrow we start, hopefully, but today we pray for the mercy that we get the right inspirations. Okay. I think I will end here. Anandini has a question. There's a very nice lecture of Srila Prabhupada where he speaks about chanting, and he says, Priti Purvakam, it must be done with love. That is the most important rule of chanting mantras. See, its effect, I will only be attentive to someone whom I love. If you have no love for someone, you don't even see them when they are not in the room. You just it's there's no connection. Love makes a connection. But you can also go the other way around. You can give your best in concentrating, and then the love will come. It works both ways. Love brings attention, but attention brings also love. There is something very important, something very enlightening in the rules of poesy. If you want to have make a poem, you sometimes look for words which rhyme. I think Vishvadev Prabhu knows this very well, because I remember there was a time when you wrote many poems or rhymes. Very nice one. Adishesh also knows how to write poems. And you always need to find a word, you know, which is surrounding the word which you want to use, but which you can't use because it doesn't rhyme. There are many so-called synonyms. For love, for instance, there's affection. What else is for love? There's a few things, words. But then there's also something which is surrounding these words, like, for instance, in love's case, gratitude or attention and so on. So if you want to come to the love in your heart, you should start, and it's not there. You can start already with attention. You can start already with gratitude, and so on. And these Begriffe, when you really want to speak something, you have to speak in your mother tongue, Anandini. These terms in English, if you concentrate on these terms, they will bring you into the core, into the innerste of what you try to cultivate. In other words, you can't just cultivate love so easily. If you have no love, you better start with attention, with gratitude, and so on. And when you do these things, one day you will be in love. For instance, I'm sure if all of us would just learn to be grateful to Radha Madan Mohan, that we can be here, and we can serve them, and we can, you know, stay at the holy Dham, Goloka Dham, we would soon feel more affection for Radha Madan Mohan. Do you know this? But without gratitude, then we only find the bad things. The computers don't work here. The heating system is... Anyways, now we don't need a heating system. But in the winter we would say the heating system is not good enough. My room, my window in my room has a little hole. You know, we would say like this. But if we are full of gratitude, oh wow, I can stay with Radha Madan Mohan in the Dham. Wow! We would not even have a mind to see the computers or the windows or whatever. It's not 100%. This is necessary to develop these other things. To develop a loving relationship. Do you know that there are four things necessary? First, you must get some information about the person or object whom you love, then you must do something to approach that person. Then comes usually, in usual relationships, a phase of doubting. Is this good? I mean, if I stay together with this Mataji, is this good? Maybe it will not last. Or when you stay together with a man, you will also think, these Mushkashkis, I mean, we have heard so much about them. They are like children, not very deep, no feelings. You know, you doubt this thing. And then, after you have gone through the period of doubt, you do something together, and then the fifth stage is you become intimate in some ways. This is how relationships are built in this world. This is from mundane psychology. And if it's seen, if people jump over these steps, for instance, in modern days, people want to become intimate immediately with each other. Not they go to a discotheque, they see some nice dancing person, and they think, oh, let me become intimate. But this can't last, such a relationship, because you need to go through the other phases of relationship building. Hearing, you know, informations. What type of person is this? Then you need to do something to approach the person. Then you need to also ask yourself questions. This is good. And give answers to the question. Then you need to do something together. And then you can be intimate. So I feel a similar thing works also in bhakti. We have to hear a lot about Lord Krishna Anandini. Hear about his name, about his form, about his qualities. How is Krishna? What is he thinking? You know, how is he as a person? And then his pastimes, his activities. In this succession, the acharyas say, we should inform ourselves about Krishna. Then we should try to approach Lord Krishna Anandini. We should come to the temple. We should greet him in the morning when he rises from his sleep. You know, we should do something to come closer to our Lord. Then we should ask all types of questions. I don't think these should be critical questions like in a mundane relationship, because we have already our relationship with Krishna, but we should ask more questions. How is he? You know, how is he? Just like, this sounds so typical, like Matajis, when they sit together, they will ask the Mataji who enters a relationship, how is he? Tell me, how is he? They will ask in the innocent way, and Mataji way, like, how is he? Please tell me. Yeah, he's very strong. Really? Please tell me. You know, and you know, they will talk like this, very, very intense talking. We'll go on. Then the next thing is, then you must do something. You know, you must do something for Krishna Nandini, something special. When his Jamashtami, you should already plan. Jamashtami is coming. A wonderful plan is made. There is a plan even to make a lake here in Golokada for this, only for this festival. This plan is there. We have discussed it already. Do something for Krishna, or maybe you like to do something with flowers for Krishna on Jamashtami. Don't know what is your idea about how you can do something for Krishna. Then do something. Then you will become intimate or more personal. I think the word in our language would be more personal. Very good steps, isn't it? It's seen, relationships where they don't go through these stages never last, like the Hare Krishna relationships. The temple president used to say, he marries her. You know, the bang. And now 75% of our marriages are broken. Why? Because it didn't have, there was no possibility of building the relationship. And you, once you are in one modus of operando, you can't do the other ones any longer. No time, no energy, no, it's over. You can't do it. Unless you are intelligent and, I mean, in relationships, and you know, oops, it was a little fast, but maybe we can go. So, can I get to know you? My name is Gopal Das, and my name is so-and-so, and then they, you know, they go through the steps. Very important. Thank you, Harandi. So nice when good devotees asked about questions about Krishna, one gets immediately enlivened. So now, nun sind der Wort genug geschehen, so wollen wir endlich das Chanten sehen. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.